She's the woman of the hour in the mayor's race, but who is C. Virginia Fields? Today we turn the spotlight on her.
This is CBS 2 News, Kurtzman & Company, with Andrew Kurtzman.
Good morning. Welcome to Kurtzman & Company. I'm Andrew Kurtzman. Later on in the show, our reporters' roundtable. But first, a look at the recent tumult in the mayor's race.
I'm more determined than ever to regain the confidence of some New Yorkers who have doubted my sincerity.
When we last left off, Fernando Ferrer was on the verge of blowing his lead in the mayor's race, having inexplicably reopened a five-year-old racial wound by saying,
"I don't believe it was a crime."
About the police shooting death of Amadou Diallo, he went on television to deliver a classic non-apology, saying,
"I was careless about choice of words."
Over and over. Heckled for refusing to say whether he still doubts it was a crime, Ferrer told one audience,
"I'm not a lawyer."
And some reporters,
"I've already answered that question."
Which he hadn't. His opponent, C. Virginia Fields, quickly pounced, announcing that she did feel the shooting was a crime. Even Ferrer's pal Carl McCall said,
"Yeah, I thought it was a crime,"
as he endorsed him. If you're wondering what this all has to do with running a city, you're not alone. But think of an election as a big, long job interview. You get to know people by asking questions. How they respond often tells you as much as what they say. If they can't answer a question directly, it can make you wonder. Yet every applicant has a quirk or two. You gotta speak to them all. If you're lucky, you'll know by the end who has a character flaw and who just sticks a foot in his mouth from time to time. Okay, we are now joined by the Manhattan Borough President, C. Virginia Fields. Welcome back to Kurtzman & Company.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
Now, there are so many issues swirling around the mayor's race. You have rocketed to second place, up 11 points since Fernando Ferrer made his now famous comments that the shooting death of Amadou Diallo was not a crime. Now, the day after he released that statement or made that statement, you released a statement of your own saying it was a crime. And as I said, your popularity rocketed. My question is, I've been going through the databases all day looking for another instance in which you had expressed the belief that it was a crime. Going back to the 1999 incident, I couldn't find one. My question is, did you just decide it was a crime after Ferrer made his comments?
Absolutely not. But before I respond to that, first of all, let me say, you said that I have moved into second place since the statement by Freddie Ferrer. But if you look at all of the public polls, even as early as last year, we have always been in second place. So it has shown that we are competitive.
Just for the record, though, you moved up 11 points.
Yes,
after...
now that is accurate.
Okay, good. But in terms of
the position, okay, it's always been second. When one looks back upon the statements that I made from the fifth day after the tragic death of Amadou Diallo, it has been basically consistent in terms of my beliefs, in terms of the fact that justice clearly was not served, and the statement released after the verdict indicated or so stated that I did not believe that justice had been served and other steps we took throughout that period.
Did you call it a crime?
The statements that we made clearly showed that we did not believe justice had been served. Well, asked the question, was it a crime or an accident? Now, that was the question that I was asked following the statement of Freddie Ferrer.
Well,
so the choice was...
I actually have the statement that you released several days after Diallo was killed. You say, I applaud District Attorney Robert Johnson's effort to investigate another alleged case of excessive police force. I anticipate a timely and just resolution to the strategy, but nothing in this statement says that the killing of Amadou Diallo was a crime.
Because at that point that you're referencing in terms of the release of the statement immediately after the shooting, no, it was not referred to as a crime. It had not gone even to the jury. So in terms of my position, and if you read all of the statements throughout, it is consistent that my belief was it was a crime. When I responded to the question,
let me explain. Well, what statement showed that it was consistent that you believed it was a crime? When did you say you believed it was a crime?
There is a record a consistent record throughout.
When did you say it?
There is a record throughout from the point of the tragic death up until the point that the jury made their statements. And what you have to do, you have to read the statements throughout.
What statement was that?
There were a number of statements that were issued by my office throughout the process. The statement that was issued after the verdict. Did I believe that it was a crime and that justice was not served? Yes, I believe that.
So your office can furnish a statement in which you said it was a crime?
In terms of the word, it was a crime, it will not say that. It will not say that it was a crime. It will say that justice clearly was not served, even though the verdict had been issued, and the steps that we took further after that, writing to the Attorney General in an effort to make sure that the federal case would move forward. So every effort and every statement clearly showed what my belief was.
It wasn't so clear if it didn't call it a crime. One might say, let's get to the bottom line of this.
Which is the
suspicion among Ferrer supporters that you're being opportunistic by now calling it a crime where you've never called it a crime before.
And that is the issue, and perhaps that's where you should have started, and we could have had a different conversation. I certainly reject that notion. The question that was raised was in direct response to a statement made by Freddie Ferrer. Was it an accident or a crime? Very specific. Now all of us know, following the very emotional time in this city and the trial, what happened, and despite the fact that the officers were acquitted, I do believe that it was a crime. That's where we are. That is my belief now. That was my belief then. Whether it was heard, whether it was written,
or expressed,
or it was indeed expressed.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree on that, Steve Virginia Fields.
No, we don't have to disagree.
Well, you never used the word crime. You never said you felt it was a crime. There were many other things.
There are many other aspects.
So let me ask my question, and I'll give you more than enough time to respond. There were many aspects of that case that people felt at the time justice may not have served well. There was the fact that the jury was moved to Albany,
which
from the Bronx.
Opposed.
Right, exactly. So there are many instances in which justice was not served. To say that the police shooting of that immigrant was a crime seems to be an altogether different subject, no?
When asked the question before, and I have been asked the question before, whether or not it was put in print, I believe that the shooting of Amadou Diallo was a crime. I believe it then, I believe it now. When asked the question now, I responded. It was not opportunistic. It was in direct response to a question, accident or crime. It was a crime, period.
All right. Fair enough. Thank
you. Absolutely.
Why don't we break for a commercial? We will have a lot more with our guests in just a moment. And then later, our reporters roundtable. You're watching Kurtzman & Company. Welcome back to Kurtzman & Company. We are speaking with mayoral candidate C. Virginia Fields, the Manhattan Borough President. We promised our viewers that they would get to know you a little better at the beginning of the show, so let's do that right now.
Okay.
Tell me, what is the policy idea that is driving your candidacy for mayor?
As people get to know me in terms of my background, my accomplishments, I am now in my 16th year as an elected official in city government, having served 8 years as a member of the city council, and now in my 8th year as president of the borough of Manhattan. Combined with that, I have also served as a member of a local community board, 10 years and 2 years of chair in that board. So my experiences in government, in terms of the many areas in which I have worked, is broad.
Okay,
and
what about
I think
what about
people
the policy?
Get to know that, and my emphasis on things that matter, education, economic development, housing, affordable housing, jobs, senior issues, they connect, they resonate with the interests of voters, and that is very important.
But is there, I guess, one thing that you, that kind of caused you to run, say, the first thing you would want to change if, in fact, you became mayor of New York City?
Our approach to education. I think mayoral reform was really a good thing, and I supported it. I'm glad that the mayor now has control. but the mayor has approached it in a way that it has excluded voices, certainly educators, and I'm very concerned about that because I think the reforms we could make, whether it is reducing class sizes at the lower grades straight through high schools without overburdening high schools by just doing it through the development of small schools, or whether it is investing earlier on in the education of children. These are things that we can do, well, but decision-making should also include people at the community level.
It's understood, and you've repeated many times and very clearly that you're not a fan of his management style. But just to make it a little more clear, what is the change that you would make, the policy change you would make, or even the structural change that you would make that would change something once you
One of the things, of course, by including principals in making key decisions and as it relates to things that happen in their schools, budgets, safety and security, curriculum issues.
What about budget, safety, and security?
Making sure that they have input, which they do not have,
principles.
The kind of input principles, so that they're the ones driving a lot of the critical decisions, and they can be held accountable for the decisions of which they are part of making.
And would you say that would be kind of your,
this is not your, happening.
Would
this
you say that
happening.
Would be kind of your primary revolution of
no,
the schools?
No, Andrew.
What would be your main change?
I think approaching the way in which we engage and involve the school community is important. That includes principals, parents, teachers, business leaders, and the larger community.
So you try to get more involvement by the community in the schools.
There are many steps that can be taken in order to increase that participation. And I think it's important because relationships within the school community are important in terms of the learning, in terms of other things of growth and development related to the children. That's important, and I don't think it should be marginalized.
Okay.
But in addition to that...
We are almost out of time. I'm afraid I have to prompt you.
That's okay.
Quickly, just...
But affordable housing, healthcare issues, healthcare disparities, all of these are issues that affect our daily lives, of which I have done a great deal of work on,
okay.
And we will do more in that regard.
And we will speak about them some more at a later date.
Be happy to.
Thank you so much for joining us again, Madam Borough President.
Thank you.
Okay. When we return, our reporters roundtable. You're watching Kurtzman & Company. Welcome back to Kurtzman & Company. Can Fernando Ferrer turn things around? Here to assess the mayor's race, Wayne Barrett of the Village Voice, Evelyn Hernandez of El Diario La Prensa, Robert George of the New York Post, and Errol Lewis of the New York Daily News. Welcome to Kurtzman & Company. Wayne Barrett, what was your reaction to the interview with C. Virginia Fields?
I think it was a crime. I think he killed her.
I think he killed her, or
she killed herself. I don't know. It was
in all seriousness, that was not my intention whatsoever.
No, I just mean it was brutal to watch the way she danced around this Diallo matter. The fact is, I have a press release that she issued around the time of the killing, in which she said it was an isolated tragedy, that she wasn't going to blame anybody for it, wasn't going to blame the mayor, wasn't going to blame the police commissioner, wasn't blaming anybody, she said. I mean, she's been milquetoast on these issues. I mean, one of the nice things about her is that she's really a totally non-confrontational person in every way. She's one of the nicest people I've ever met in politics. So she was nice even about the murder, if it was a murder, of Amadou Diallo. That's just the way she talks. So the biggest flip-flop of the race so far is her, not Freddie Ferrer. For her to now describe it as a crime, for her to be the militant on this issue, it's just completely out of character for her, and I think it showed in this interview.
Does anyone disagree with this?
I would just say I don't know if she's being militant on it. I mean, it's really more, I think, you know, after you've seen the evidence, after the trial plays out, you hear the witnesses and so forth. I interpreted what she's saying now as meaning if she'd been in that jury box, she would have voted guilty, which I think a lot of people have concluded as well, who also think that, you know, started out thinking this is a tragic, isolated incident. You know, it's not as if cops are roaming around looking for people to pump bullets into. On the other hand, after you hear the whole thing, you say, you know what? this met the legal standard of what they were charged
and
with.
I would also say that the later press release that she was referring to when she said that justice was not served. I mean, it's kind of squishy, but I mean, I think in the context of what everything was going on, it suggests that she thought that the jury should have come to a different decision.
I think when Freddie.
I'm sorry. So you interpret that line as meaning that the police killing of Diallo was murder? Mm.
I'm saying that Fields' statement that justice was not served suggests, in her view, that the jury didn't make the right decision.
Do you agree, Evelyn Hernandez?
Well, I think that when Freddie first when the question was first posed to Freddie and he bungled the answer, which I think we all agree he did, it was very easy to jump on him, and in fact he should have been better prepared for that answer given the group that he was speaking to. However, now to have Virginia Fields or anyone else come back and try to rewrite history is also completely, you know, unacceptable, because clearly she did not make the statement at the time, and the record shows that.
But I think also we have to keep in mind too that in many ways the statement that got Ferrer in trouble was, I think, less the was it a crime than the follow up was that there was this tendency to over indict, and that, I mean, I think that was that was kind of the key thing, because when we look back when he was involved in Sharpton's kind of everybody getting arrested and so forth, that initiative by Sharpton was focused on getting the cops indicted. So right. I mean, I think that was
felt it was a crime.
Yeah. So,
well, okay. Everybody didn't get arrested. Virginia Fields' office overlooks the plaza where everybody got arrested. She certainly didn't get arrested. I don't even know if she ever made it down the elevator for those rallies.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you mentioned Al Sharpton's name. It looked earlier last week as though Sharpton were about to endorse Virginia Fields and level a major blow to Ferrer's candidacy. And then, lo and behold, your paper reports, that Sharpton is under investigation in a case in Philadelphia. Suddenly, there was no endorsement. We didn't hear another word about the endorsement for the rest of the week. Tell me, Robert George, what has happened to the value of an Al Sharpton endorsement in this mayor's race?
I think in the context of the primary, I think it can still be significant, because I think his if he chooses to endorse Virginia Fields, I think given his previous support for Freddie Ferrer, that would be considered a major blow. Whether it would be significant in the general, I mean, I think that's that has to be seen.
My question is he damaged by this new legal cloud hanging over him? Anyone?
Well, if history is serves. I mean, you know, in the last election, the candidates worked 24/7 to get Al Sharpton's endorsement, and then once Freddie got it, you know, the other candidates used it against Freddie that he had Al Sharpton's endorsement. So the value of Sharpton's endorsement has always been up in the air.
Sharpton, when he ran for president in the primary in New York State, got fewer votes than Catherine Freed did, who came in last for the public advocates race in 2001. I mean, he is largely a fabrication of us in the media. He is largely a figure that we invented, that we nurture, that we use for one reason or another. Whether or not his endorsement, I mean, I think now he has this potential criminal problem. And what we whether that just dies or not, I think depends on what the jury does in Philadelphia.
Right.
If the jury convicts these folks in Philadelphia.
Also, I should just point out, in the last mayor's race, he almost made it into a runoff with Ruth Messenger.
So
just to be clear, right. The Philadelphia Inquirer actually was the first one that pointed out that Sharpton's name was mentioned in this, and it's a question of campaign finance issues and so forth, and he of course says that why is the federal government videotaping him and so forth.
Something to keep in mind as far as the value of a Sharpton endorsement. I mean, we don't know necessarily whether, you know, he's going to run for anything in the future, but what we do know is he made an endorsement of the Jet Stadium earlier this year, and it was measurable in the polls that there was a swing in black opinion. Now, whether that's because he's a media creation, as Wayne puts it, or for some other reason, mm-hmm. there's some people who, when he announces a position, are going to follow it.
And he does say things and does speak the truth a lot of the time, and says things that a lot of people agree with. Whether we like the fact that he's a media figure or not is another question.
Mm-hmm. And the Sharpton Ferrer pulling away from Mark Green in 2001 arguably capsized his campaign.
Well, as Fred Siegel, the author and professor, often says, Al Sharpton can't elect a candidate, but he can doom a candidate. And that was proved in the last race.
Your book, Andrew, Al Sharpton was negotiating with the Giuliani people. When Giuliani was running against Dinkins, he was doing back-channel meetings with the Giuliani people.
That's right.
He's auction block Al. He's, he's up. In every election, it's whoever rewards him in ways that we'll never know. He has a 501c4. It's a nonprofit that's completely impenetrable. We have no idea where the money comes from. We have no idea how it's spent.
Well, a lot of political figures will bargain for various endorsements.
I want to thank you all very much for your time. A lively segment. We'll be back in a moment. You are watching Kurtzman & Company. Okay, that does it for this edition of Kurtzman & Company. I want to thank Mike S. for joining us. Just a reminder, keep those questions coming. Log on to our website at cbsnewyork.com and click on the Kurtzman web blog link. We'll post your questions and my responses. I'm Andrew Kurtzman. Thank you so much for watching. Coming up right now, Sunday edition with Marcia Kramer.